But I think in today's world, where I'm going to say, and I don't have the data, but I'm going to just assume the majority of people prefer to find out how much things are without having to speak to anyone. You need to have that listed somewhere or available for them to know that there's a lower option, so that if your regular option's too high, you don't lose Adam, who's now going to bring all of his kids.
Welcome to Small Business BS, the podcast designed to ignite your entrepreneurial spirit through thought-provoking ideas and actionable business strategies. Each week, entrepreneurs Adam Whitmer and Jeff Gargis dive into creative marketing hacks, proven sales methods, and clever growth strategies. Get ready to unlock the full potential of your business with insights that are both fun and impactful. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Gargis and Adam Whitmer.
Welcome to episode 38 of the Small Business BS podcast. I'm Adam Whitmer, and I'm here with my co-host, Jeff Gargis. In today's episode, we're going to continue our conversation on selling by talking about one way to sell, which is called downselling. Now, in episode 36, we talked about upselling. Upselling is essentially when you've already made the sale and you're offering the customer to go bigger. In episode 37, the last episode, we talked about cross-selling. This is when you've already made the sale and you're trying to offer products and services to go wider. You're offering complementary products or services to increase that overall sale. Now, today we're going to talk about downselling. Downselling is when you've not yet made the sale, and in fact, somebody is deciding not to purchase the sale that you've already offered. So you're not able to upsell them. You're not able to cross-sell them. In fact, you haven't even made the sale at all. And a lot of times, this can feel it can feel like it's going to be a very difficult, very sleazy type of sale to have to make. So Jeff, you're telling me you don't want to buy what I'm having to offer? Let me convince you that you're going to miss out and your world is going to end, and this is the worst mistake you're going to make. I mean, I've heard all those things before. This is the worst mistake you're going to make if you don't go through with this. That's not what we're trying to do. The reality is that selling can be overwhelming for somebody who is a small business owner and really good at their trade. A lot of us love doing what we do. We love our trade. We love our industry. But the fact that we have to be the chief sales officer of our organization is a frightening and sometimes overwhelming task. The reality is it doesn't have to be frightening. It doesn't have to be overwhelming. What we can do is put in simple procedures in our organization to encourage sales. We have to make sales in our organization to bring in revenue. And if we don't make sales, we just have a very expensive hobby. So sales are just the lifeblood and a reality. It's the necessary evil of owning a business, but it doesn't have to be sleazy. It doesn't have to be nasty. Now, Jeff, if you don't mind, I want to give you my first example of downselling that was sleazy, and it was gross from a sales perspective. But years ago, and I think I might've shared this before on this podcast, I don't remember. But anyway, years ago, my wife and I went to a timeshare on vacation, and we had gone through several timeshares because my in-laws have a timeshare plan, and they let us use some of their timeshares over the years. And in fact, this specific timeshare, I'm convinced the reason that we got to go to this because it's a sales machine. So they offered us to stay a week at this resort in the mountains by Shenandoah National Park for pennies on the dollar. It was something like, I think, $350 for an entire week to be able to stay there. And we had access to three different pools and an indoor water park if we sat through a sales presentation. So we decided, of course, with small children, that we were going to sit through the sales presentation to get our free passes to the indoor water park. And the way the process worked at this timeshare was they wanted to give us a presentation. They brought us in. The first thing they did is they fed us food. We had a free breakfast. It was a very, very nice breakfast. It was free. And, you know, they were basically trying to use the law of reciprocation where they give us a whole bunch of value and we feel like the need that we want to reciprocate with our sales guy. And so the sales guy talked about all this, the cost of it, but he said, I've got some free tickets for you and let us eat for free. And then went around, drove us around, talked about all the benefits, you know, looked at what we liked about our stay. And keep in mind, we went into this knowing that my in-laws have anywhere from 5 to 10 weeks a year. We can get a timeshare anytime we want. So we were not in the market. We already have access to a timeshare. But it was nice, and he was pumping it up. And he ended up offering us this this high-end timeshare that was very expensive. And he was trying to upsell with it. And we decided that we didn't want that. It was just way too much. We'd already made our minds up that we weren't going to have it. And he offered us something like $40,000 to buy into this timeshare. And so we ended up deciding we don't want it. And he said, well, that's fine. Let's look not in this new area, but let's look over here in this other area. And so suddenly he cut it from like 40,000 down to 30,000. And we're like, no, we're not interested. And so he then dropped it from 30,000 down to 25,000. And then he said, the best I can do is 20,000. And just again, tried to sell us on it. And we said, no. He said, all right, now to get your free water park passes, you got to go talk to this guy. So we went to talk to this guy. And it was another opportunity to buy. And instead of the new area, they had resold. They had these old units that were equivalent to what we were staying in for $350 a month. He offered us the timeshare that was originally $4,000 at a different part for, I kid you not, about $7,000. So it dropped all the way down. He said, this is the best that I can do. And then he dropped a little bit more to $6,500. And basically, the way the process was is they kept downselling, trying to see if we actually had a need and going as low as possible, but by starting with their highest process. And so that's the one example I have of seeing downselling in action. And I was shocked. We almost jumped for it. I'm really glad in hindsight we didn't, but the value that was there, and we really did enjoy that resort for $6,500 to be part of this timeshare would have been it would have met our needs, but there's also annual dues and maintenance costs and different liabilities we just didn't want to dive into. And so we didn't, but that was the perfect example of downselling and my first real experience to it. So Jeff, what's your thoughts on that? I know I've been talking
I think that's a really good example. And I'm saying this with, I have a bad taste just because the whole timeshare market in my mind is whatever. But what's really powerful in that example is that you literally from the start, you were not in the market. You actually had no desire to buy, which made you actually a pretty bad prospect. And it still almost worked.
It did.
You still almost purchased.
We were, I kid you not, my wife was ready to go and I was almost there.
So now imagine you go there with a different mindset and you're like, we really want this timeshare, but the 40,000 comes off and you're like, whoa, that was way more than we thought. Then the 30 and you're like, okay, well, that's still a lot more than we thought. And now you get down to 7, you're like, well, that's actually reasonable because we want one first off. And holy cow, like 40 felt terrible. So now 7 feels pretty good. And it probably works. So that's a pretty effective one. That's a little more high pressure. But
it was,
I think,
very
reflecting back to the, I think it was the first episode of this little mini series where we were talking about the upselling was like, you mentioned that it needs to be a procedure that's just built into your the way that you do things. And clearly that was very much built in. That's just the system, right? And I'm guessing there's probably a system that they have in place for the cross sell as well. And clearly for the upsell, which kind of sounds like was the start of it. But right. So I think that's a great story of how it can work. I'm going to just go with another example, if that's okay. Because we talked last time about like the cars, right? And things of that nature. And we kind of already touched on this. We actually even said, oh, that's downselling. Where I come in and I say, I'm looking for a truck, and you try to sell me the mid-level or maybe the high-level trim, right? With all the features and bells and whistles. And I say, no, 9 out of 10, because it's too expensive. The downsell is, well, let's look at the next model down or the base model or whatever it might be. And let's see, oh, maybe we need to look at used, right? You know, or I'm sorry, pre-owned, as they call them now.
Right, right.
And so that's your downsell there. And I want to touch also on, not to go too scatterbrained with my thoughts here, but when you opened the episode talking about the sleazy, like feeling the awkwardness of trying to do this because they already said no and now I'm trying to push them again. It's not about, you use the word convince, like you don't have to convince them. And I'm like, yeah, you don't. It's not about convincing. It's about giving them another opportunity. If I walked into your store or I made it to your checkout page and your sales page, I at least have enough of an interest to be worthy of an opportunity to purchase. And most of the time, not always, but most of the time, price is the factor, if not a major factor in the decision-making process. So if I've already taken the action and shown you that I'm at least interested enough, but I'm not going to go for whatever your regular price or high-end upsell or whatever, like give me the opportunity to still get what I came in here for. Give me the opportunity to still try and fix whatever the need is that I'm looking for that I thought at some point that your product or service offered me. And that's what the downsell is. It's not you convincing them, although some sales tactics and some sales people will do that. That's what they do. It's giving me an opportunity to still get what I initially came into, even if it's a, for lack of a better term, lesser version or a less robust version of it. Like it's still what I came in looking for, right? So
yeah,
I think that's a way that we talked about in the first episode of these three. Like that's a mindset shift of flipping in sales in general. You should flip that your head to it. I need to provide opportunities for these people to purchase because they're here for a reason. And I think if you can flip your mindset that way, it can help with some of that. I don't really like sales. I don't feel comfortable doing this. I don't like asking for it and stuff. But I think downselling is literally just the opposite of the upsell. It's, well, didn't go for that. How about this? That's all right. It is. Almost pretty much always related to price. All right, it didn't go there. How about this slightly less thing or drastically less thing? Because they're leaving otherwise. I think you've probably experienced this on websites where you're on a sales page and you go to click. When you go up in the X, pop-up pops up. It's like, well, wait a minute. Just in case, did you know we also offer this cheaper thing? Because again, I'm about to leave. I'm about to walk out of your store. So give me the opportunity one last time to say no or to purchase something cheaper. And that's all a downsell is.
Right. And it could be as simple as a coupon, for example. Yep. You know, what comes to mind for me, and I don't know this is a true downsell because this is it's a unique situation. But when I purchase things on Amazon, which I do occasionally, if we need to return something, one of the return options we have is to go to our local Kohl's store. And so we can actually just walk into Kohl's, go to the customer service desk with our UPC code or whatever we have to have them scan in our code and that we can return the product from Amazon. But what Kohl's does every time is they hand you back the receipt, but they also hand you a coupon that says 10% off of any purchase in the store at Kohl's today. And so what they're realizing is a lot of the people coming to return Amazon are actually done. They're not purchasing anything. They're on their way out of the store. And since they're there, they're saying, hey, if you're interested in making a sale today, we'll give you 10% off. So I see that similar to a downsell. It's different because Amazon's a different company than Kohl's, but businesses can absolutely do that. That's true.
I love it. By the way, like Kohl's, like what a brilliant move to say, hey, and I don't know if that was Amazon that initiated or Kohl's, whatever, but like a great yes or idea of like, hey, like just have them come here. We'll take care of it. I think that's a sort of a cross sell, but it's more of a, in my mind, I think of it, it's like a tripwire offer on a lead magnet page. So if you think about a lead magnet, let's say it's a webinar and it's like, hey, get this free masterclass. And I put in my name and email and I register for the masterclass and it says, hey, and then it's either in a checkbox that I can do or after that, it says, hey, since you registered for this, you get this opportunity to get this course that I normally sell for $50 and you can get it for $42.50 right now. That's this tripwire in a sense of what that's supposed to do is it's supposed to offset the cost of the free thing that you're giving away. In the Kohl's version, they're spending money. This is assuming Amazon's not paying them, and I don't know. There may be some sort of arrangement there, but Kohl's is spending resources, space, all that stuff to do that. The service they are offering us as Amazon thing from Kohl's, that service is free.
Right.
It's a lead magnet. In a sense, right? Because they're like, don't even bring a box, dude. Just drop it on the counter. We'll take it. Like it's great. And then the coupon is the trip. I'm like, oh, while you're here. Like, you know, since we gave you this free thing, you want to, because there's a little bit of reciprocal there, right? That what you mentioned. And so it's a brilliant move, because then I'm like, oh, like before I walk out today, I can do this. And I just got something free. Like, it's a great, I think of it in a lead magnet tripwire format. Like, that's what that is to me.
Yeah, I love it. It's a great opportunity.
To an extent.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity to recognize that they're headed out the door. And instead of having them head out the door, you're trying to figure out if there's an opportunity for a sale. And that's the that's the bottom line with downselling. And so let's turn this a little bit, Jeff, and say, you know, if we're a business owner, you know, what are some examples of other businesses do as far as a downsell? And what could, you know, what are some ways to think about this and how I can do this in my own organization?
Yeah, so I'm trying to think of some good, like, everyday examples. I think we use this in the cross sell and I as one of the examples of going to buy a laptop. And the cross sell was, you know, do you need a bag with that? Do you need a mouse, extra charge or whatever? The downsell would be the version where you say, here's this, you were looking for a laptop. What are you looking for? I'm just doing basic stuff, da 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 da, and I offer you the laptop that's got the i7 processor in it. And you're like, oh, nope, that's a little out of my price range. My downselling is, oh, well, let's look at the i5s. Don't worry, like, it's still got all you need stuff. It's just going to be a little bit slower, but honestly, you probably won't even notice it. It's still going to handle everything you need to do. Now I'm dropping you down $300. I'm still meeting your needs. I'm just giving you another opportunity to get what you need, which was a laptop. I'm just now coming down from where I initially was hoping you were going to go. And I'm trying to do that. The best part is if you then say yes, I now have an opportunity to do the cross sell. Right. So like it works there. But like that, I think is a really basic, simple one. We already talked about the car, like cars. That's a simple one of just the downsell. You can do, we talked about bikes. That's another, we can go that route as well, but similar to the car. Go ahead. You had something else.
Yeah. So I'm thinking here, you know, one of the things that I had several years ago was my daughter wanted to take voice lessons. I've got a daughter who's a great singer. She was pretty much self-taught for the longest time and decided she was ready to take voice lessons virtually. And she'd actually taken a few lessons earlier because she had found she'd taken a class on voice acting, but that voice acting teacher also gave private voice lessons. And so I'd reached out to the teacher about lessons and she offered an hour session for something like $70. I forget the exact amount. And I just didn't want to pay that much. My daughter wanted weekly lessons. And so I kind of balked at that. Now, instead of her offering it, I said, hey, would you do half hour lessons? And she goes, yeah, I do offer half hour lessons. So we ended up paying a lesser amount, which she probably shouldn't have charged half. She should have charged a little bit more, but I think we paid $35 a lesson instead of 70. She should have charged 40. But that's what she did. Now, the funny thing is, Jeff, and by having that downsell where it went from a price point of $70 a week to 35, a couple weeks into that, my son goes, hey, I would really like to get voice lessons too. So I ended up spending that money right back by having my son come in. And eventually at one point, my daughter came in too. So I actually had all three kids taking a 1.5 hour lesson. So not only did I pay 70, I paid an additional $35 because it didn't quite meet my needs. She was able to downsell it. And then I was able to triple buy for all three of my kids. And
yeah, where otherwise she would have just lost you. That's a great example, right? So the initial was how much?
$70 for an hour lesson.
So she initially lost the $70 sale and she got for what? You say 35? So she lost $35 per lesson.
Right.
But she ended up ended up flipping it and making an additional 70.
35.
So she actually made 35 more right? And that's where the opportunity cost gets lost because you just never know when that's going to happen. I love that one because someone can look at the initial piece and be like, oh, like I lost $35 an hour on this one, or $35 or less on this one. But in the long run, the lifetime value of that customer, so much better than that.
Now, here's a question, Jeff. You know, for her, does it make sense for her to always offer a half hour lesson?
She should.
Or should she just start with the hour? And if people balk, then offer the half hour lesson.
I could go either way. She would be okay going either way, either having that half hour option in her back pocket as the offer. Yeah, but I also
it depends on demand. I think it depends on demand, because if she's full, having a whole bunch of half hour people messes up your schedule if you're used to doing an hour.
But even if we assume everything's good, right? Let's assume that's not an issue and it's just purely based on the sales tactics. Like, she could, in theory, be like, "Hey, I have hour lessons and I have half hour," but she could position the hour as the recommended. She could also, if she wanted to, she could throw a 90 minute and do the three pricing tier and be like, "I offer 90 minutes. Here's what they are." Most people do an hour. Like, that's where most people go. But then there's two other options. So now Adam comes and says that 70, looks at it, and actually your initial thoughts would be like, "Oh, I don't think I want to do the 90 because I don't want to do $125. But I could do 70 because now 70 feels like less. But I also have the downsell of like, oh, like I said, because if that story went how you said, you actually sort of downsold yourself because you were like, do you have half hour lessons? Some people might just go, never mind, too expensive.
Right.
And so she like, so then if you have, so sometimes the pricing, like having that listed and having that available and always mention that there's the lower option, is just making sure you don't accidentally forget to remind, because also you may not have given her a chance to say, oh, but I do offer, because you might not have said, never mind, it's too expensive. You just might not have ever called her back.
Right.
Now she doesn't have an opportunity to downsell you. Now she could, in theory, she could call you or email you and be like, "Hey, I haven't heard from you. I just wanted to offer you. Make sure you know we also offer 30 minutes." There's a lot of ways you can do that. But I think in today's world where I'm going to say, and I don't have the data, but I'm going to just assume the majority of people prefer to find out how much things are without having to speak to anyone.
Yes.
You need to have that listed somewhere or available for them to know that there's a lower option, so that if your regular option's too high, you don't lose Adam, who's now going to bring all of his kids. And I think a lot of times people will be like, "Well, I don't want to put the lower because then everyone's going to pick the lower." It's like, well, you better have your lower marked in a positive profit margin anyway. So,
right.
So, and lower is better than nothing.
Yeah, for example, the reality is with her, if she had a whole bunch of half-hour students, having double the students than you would at one-hour lessons causes more work. She has to send out more Zoom invites. She has to have more music sheets ready to go, and there is more work. So by her only charging 35 instead of 70, she was doing a disservice to herself, because there is more
behind the scenes work. Her pricing was not good.
So what she should have done is probably priced that half-hour lesson at 45 instead of 35 to account for that additional time of the additional number and volume of students.
Well, and also that's your value meal, right? Because now Adam's going, "Well, wait a minute. Per minute, I'm actually paying more at this lower level, and I don't like that."
Then so it suddenly becomes an upsell. So
because or the downsell plays the role of locking in the actual sell, because now Adam's going, "Well, wait a minute, like I don't want to. Why would I do that? I'm going to get my kid. All I'm doing is get my kid more time with the teacher, and I'm doing it for less dollars per minute, right? So now the downsell actually acts as a closer in a sense, right? So. Yeah, I think in her that specific case, like, she priced her downsell incorrectly.
Yeah,
because exactly. It's literally half, and it should not just be literally half, because there's more that goes into a lesson than just the actual minutes that you're giving the kid. She has to, and this is very specific, but like, you have to know each individual kid. There's prep that goes into it. There's memory that goes into that stuff. That's more than just, so when you cut it in half, you're not actually cutting your work in half. Right. And I think that's, so a little side lesson of that was just bad pricing.
Exactly. So let's get back to downselling, Jeff. And so if I am a business owner, what are some more examples of a downsell, or how do I begin to understand what to offer as a downsell in my organization? Where should I start? What should I be thinking about?
I think it's similar to, the last two episodes and what was it, 36 and 37, we talked about the upsell and the cross sell, and we talked about looking for a couple of things. We talked about the upsell, what are the ways that you can increase the value, therefore increase the price. And I think it's sort of the same model. Like, okay, it's just reverse, right? If here's what I've established is my package, my product, my service, whatever, where can I actually remove some value and hopefully work in order to justify making it a little bit cheaper for folks? Just like we mentioned in the last episode about cross-selling, is where are the opportunities? Your downsell should also still be the opportunity, right? So you need to be thinking about that. Like, how do I create this so that it still works, still provides value to my customers, even if no, it's not maybe that target value that I believe they want, need, and they might come in here for. It's still going to take care of their needs, right? It's the lawn care package that doesn't include trimming. I'm still solving the problem of Adam doesn't want to mow his lawn, but I'm able to do it for less because I don't have to bring a second person who does the weed whacking, or it doesn't take me longer because I'm doing weed whacking, right? So like where that my normal package, my target package includes mowing and weed whacking. My upsell also includes, I don't know, weeds, maybe, right? Trim it, that type of stuff, right? But my downsell is the, oh, like that's too high for you. Well, if we remove the trim inside of it, Adam, I can actually do it for this now. And so I think looking at that and go like, where can I remove a little bit to make it still valuable, but less value and or less work or less raw materials or whatever, depending on your business, and still keep it profitable and still keep it valuable to my customer and still serve whatever their needs are. Even if I'm serving either fewer needs or serving their needs at not quite the same, I don't like saying level, but that's what I'm trying to say. Like, cause you're still going to do it well, but like, you're not just taking care of it all. Right. And so I think looking for those opportunities, that's how you go. And that may look like a, just a different model of a car, or it may look like a kind of different package, right? If you think about, I'm going to buy a car and it's an SUV, but pricing is just not there. Like, there may not be a model that fits in my price range. Your downsell may be, well, let's actually look at a small compact car instead. Now, that may not work if I need it from family, but like, it still may work if I'm just looking for a car, right? So like, what do you have? Your thing may be just a slightly lesser of a package or service or product, or it might be a completely different product that still fulfills that needs, but just is different.
Right. So that's a great point. What came to mind, you're talking about lawn care and all and cars, is, you know, if you had a company that sells riding lawnmowers, and that's what you specialize in, is riding lawnmowers, but you find that a lot of people find that the lowest tier riding lawnmower you have is just still too expensive. You could offer a single push mower that you know is a good product, a good service. It's at a good price point. You don't offer more than just one. You just offer one, and that's your downsell is, well, I know you still need to get your lawn mowed. Have you looked at a push mower? We've got this opportunity. Another example was, I had a friend years ago who I was working with, and he was doing some speeches, and he was going out to different events and talking about the marketing services his company offered. And he was doing social media management. And so he was talking about social media management, what businesses need to do, and really offering that service for people. But, you know, his packages, he had three tiers, and for some new businesses who are just starting out, whether it's people who are just, you know, part-time side hustle, they just couldn't afford to hire somebody for social media management. And so he came to me and said, hey, I feel like there's still a need. And what can we do to fill this need for people who don't want to buy my services, but I still want to be able to help them? And we ended up putting together a social media management do-it-yourself toolkit that basically outlined exactly what they would be doing if they did it for them, but allowed the business owner to have a framework to follow that they could just plug and play and then be able to do it all on their own. And so they offered that at a smaller amount. And so it became very easy because they created this basically a workbook one time and were able to sell it for a very low price point, but it was still able to help meet that market who wasn't able to spend the money of the product or service they actually offered. And so it just kind of became a little bit different. It's more of a book than an actual social media management, but it's in the same family and it solved the same need and same problem that the ideal customer had.
Yeah. You just kind of took away some of the workload. I was trying to think of the convenience side of it is kind of what you removed there. A similar one, just stay in that same vein, and then I think we can wrap. But like, we worked with a Meta ads manager, so Facebook and Instagram ads, and the package that they try to sell is a full suite where they create all the graphics for you, they write all the copy for you, and then they like literally create the ads, and then they also manage them, like monitor them, adjust audiences, et cetera, et cetera. And so you literally just pay, you have your ad spend, and then you're paying them a package. And then the downsell, because I was like, no, I don't want to pay you that much. The downsell was, okay, well, you get this, okay, what is it? These series of onboarding calls to get you and help you. And we support you, but you create all the creatives. You write the ad copy and you create the videos or images or a combination of both. But you're going to get 30 minutes with our copywriter and you can use that however you want. And then we'll let you know if we don't think if we think the creatives need to go, but we're not going to create them. And then we set up the ads, we set them up and you get management. Also, you get access to our library of videos that help you write good copy, create good things, and just understand ads and stuff. And so that's sort of like, and that was like, it was like less than half. It was a pretty good discount because they're doing a whole lot less. He doesn't now need to pay off his graphic designers and writers and stuff like that. And we use them for a little bit. Like, you know, we were just testing stuff. So like, that's another version of like the digital services side where it's like, here's the full suite service. And if you don't want that, here's the do it yourself, right? Like yep. done with like, we're going to give you all the tools and everything like that and some coverage. Maybe we even do some things for you, right? Another version of the social media one is we're going to create it all for you, but then you have to manage it. Like we're going to help you create good, impactful reels or maybe it's just scripts or whatever, but you're going to actually manage it. But we're going to give you this toolkit of like how to manage it and suggestions. And maybe we have affiliate links with, you know, Hootsuite and other, you know, platforms that allow you to manage it better and Buffer and stuff like that. So like there's a lot of ways you can do that where your downsell actually becomes a nice sell for you. I think that's the key is like, it's got to take care of your customer to an extent that you're still delivering service and value to them, but also make sure you're still in a positive profit margin for yourself too.
Right.
Otherwise it's a bad product.
And that's the key in all three of these: upselling, cross-selling, downselling. The bottom line is you have to still be serving your customer. It's not about the sale. It's about finding that value, that additional value, or really the right value for your customer. And so again, just to recap this as we close out our series here, you know, we've been talking about selling. Selling doesn't have to be scary. It can be as simple as implementing a process of upselling, cross-selling, or downselling. Upselling is go bigger. Cross-selling, go wider. Downselling, go smaller. But at the end of the day, you're meeting that need of your ideal customer to help make the sale, which is essential for your business to survive. So that concludes this. Any closing thoughts, Jeff?
No, let's wrap it. These were three fun episodes. I like this.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved it. So that's all we have for this episode in this mini series within inside of our larger podcast at the Small Business BS podcast. So for more information on this episode and other episodes, go to smallbusinessbs.com. Until next time, have fun, be strategic, and get out there and grow your business. We'll see you all next week.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Small Business BS Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe and share it with fellow entrepreneurs. Until next time, keep thinking big and taking action in your business, one step at a time.